Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Right now in the NBA, as we sit, the Lakers trying to do their very best, to stay out of the play-in round. And so far, things could be a little bit better. It is a tie game right now with the Rockets, 75-75, a little bit less than 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. So this is a big one for the Lakers tonight. Look, not only from the fact of, hey, the Lakers need to try to figure out a way to get playing better, try to figure out a way to win without LeBron James, without Anthony Davis, but they still kind of want to finish in the top six, and if they lose tonight, they won't be able to do it. Portland has already won, so the Lakers now have to win to keep pace with the Blazers, which would make it come down to the final two games of the regular season. Loss to the Lakers tonight would put them two games back with two games to go, and then it's virtually impossible for them to get there, even though Portland has a couple of tough games coming up. The Blazers are hot, so this is about as much of a must win for the Lakers you could possibly have, and here they are now up two with 5.5 to go in the third quarter. I'll tell you one thing, they better hope Talen Horton-Tucker is coming through that door. They better hope Kyle Kuzma's coming through that door, Mike Harmon, because I know who's not coming through that door.
Well, they gave speeches before the game, though, so LeBron did come through that door, and yeah, that guy in the fifth row keeps going, "Why aren't you playing?" It might be Larry David, I don't know. But the idea that, you know, the Blazers had a big game tonight. Obviously, we watched some Carmelo Anthony shake and bake late. They still have Phoenix and Denver to close out, whereas the Lakers have Indiana and the Zion-less Pelicans, who got absolutely worked tonight, at least at last look. I didn't see what the final was because I gave up, because it was just an absolute. They were down.
I gave up.
They were up. They were down like 35 points.
You're like,
I didn't have
gambler.
Any action on it.
You're like a gambler who is like, I'm just going to lose, and watching the final is just going to piss me off. I didn't even see the final score.
they lost by 18 to Dallas. Like, look, here's the word to the wise for most folks that don't understand this. Gamblers care more about the numbers and the data that comes out of the games. Many times they won't watch a down of football or a minute of the basketball action, because that clouds your judgment, right? What you think,
mm-hmm,
versus
sure,
just going to the brass tacks of, we set up an algorithm and we go from there. But yeah, they ended up losing by 18, so they made it respectable by outplaying Dallas in the fourth, 27-14. Still lost by 18, people. So, in theory, for the Lakers, the next two games should be imminently winnable. Although we also thought, hey, it's Houston. And, well, Houston's not good. And they're getting everything they want and then some. Because Houston quit as soon as James Harden did his speech. They had to do a lot of soul searching. You're not good. You're terrible. And you give me no opportunity to win. I hate you and I want out. That's really the synopsis of what he had to say. I'm paraphrasing and maybe toughening up the verbiage a little bit. But for the Lakers, yeah, it's just the question of, is it better to get into the play-in, assuming these guys are all really hurt to this level, right? LeBron, how much is he not playing tonight because of the win over the Knicks versus he's still ailing and needs more time? Because if you get into the play-in side, and again, you could catch Steph Curry on the absolute wrong nights and go home, but is that a better path getting out of there than playing Phoenix versus that matchup across the locker rooms and Staples against the Clippers? Some would argue that it's a better matchup going against the number two seed. Either way, it's great theater, great drama, and we'll be here for all of it.
Now, that clearly, though, even though this is a big story, we're following it right now. It's a close game midway through the third. The biggest basketball story of the night, you know who's in the playoffs. You know who clinched a playoff berth tonight with the Celtics 102-94 loss to Cleveland. You know who's in the playoffs. You know who's in the playoffs. The Knicks are officially in the playoffs and not in the – oh, they're in the play-in. No, no. The Knicks are going to be a top six team in the Eastern Conference. They could finish as high as fourth, but they have clinched a play. They may rest all of their players now the last couple of games, say, hey, we got it clinched. We're good. We don't care where we finish. I don't want them to finish sixth because, you know, look, I don't want the Bucks in the first round. But the Knicks are in the playoffs. Think about if I had said this on opening night of this season. I go
you
back
did.
To December, and I said, hey, the Knicks are going to finish in the top. No, I said they were going to be in the playoffs, but I didn't say they're going to be top six. And the Knicks are going to be – I said they were going to be somehow in the postseason, knowing full well I had, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, which is probably where they were going to be. But look at them actually in the playoffs. Actually in the playoffs. They're actually in. Nobody thought that was happening, buddy. Nobody did.
No, it's absolutely insane. What Tom Thibodeau has been able to do, Julius Randle. Obviously, now they've got to figure out getting him his bag and getting him one more guy. RJ Barrett's taken a huge step forward. Derrick Rose, since he arrived there, has been phenomenal. A little bit too much two-man game at the end of yesterday's loss to the Lakers, but that's okay. Still clinched a playoff berth and miles away from what the team has been. I mean, it's been a fantastic story that because of all the drama everywhere else has kind of gone unnoted until the last couple of weeks when everybody started to say, let's really cast a wide net on any guy that we could ever put the MVP tag to, if only for a moment. And that's when they caught Julius Randle in between Rudy Gobert and all these other guys, because it became, and we did it first, as we often do, just saying, well, why not him? Even if you didn't believe it for a second, if we're going to have the conversation and you start randomly grasping at straws, right, of this stat matters or this is really important, and then Steph Curry, because he gets a bunch of highlight threes and they're 17 games above last year when those guys didn't play, that suddenly he's supposed to be the guy. It's like, well, if we're going to grab him, let's drag the rest of these guys too. And lo and behold, what happened? The rest of the national narrative have started pulling Julius Randle along. Way to be sheep, people. Way to be sheep. But I will gladly remain your shepherd here on Fox Sports Radio for a while. But the job that they do defensively, they attack. And normally in an 82-game season, Tom Thibodeau teams are done. Their legs are jelly. I think if you want to talk about a team that got helped by the shortened season and the compressed schedule, young legs, couple of veterans to come in and help these guys out. But those 10 games that aren't on their legs for the defensive effort they put forth every night, I think that's been a big, big help to what the Knicks have become.
I'll tell you, look, it's for the Knicks, just really quick, because it really is some kind of story. They are one player away from being a championship contender. And I don't mean it's Will Chamberlain or it's Michael Jordan. Ah, we're only a couple players away. No, it's like, oh, the Knicks are good. The Knicks have all the pieces. The Knicks look like the Clippers did before Kawhi showed up, right? We got everything else we need, right? We have a guy in Julius Randle can play. We got everything we need. And clearly watching the game the game from last night earlier today when I did, because, you know, look, I was out last night. I had it was my second COVID shot.
You were out last night?
All day.
Yeah.
No, I laid low all day yesterday, and I was out sleeping most of the day, and I got to see the Knicks Lakers game a bit this morning. Is seeing the end of the game go, okay, that's all they need. Julius Randle's not a guy who can always give them the ball at the end of a game and expect him to make a shot. I mean, he's their best player, but he's not somebody that, okay, you give him the ball on the block and suddenly it's going to be like giving it to Tim Duncan. RJ Barrett's not ready to be that guy yet, but they are one small forward or shooting guard away, because you can always slide RJ Barrett up to small forward if you want wanted to. Look, the guy draws the best defensive player, the top defensive assignment in every game anyway with the Knicks, is that if you put that one score in there that's not going to hurt them defensively, they're a title team contender, yes, because they play in the East, but still, doesn't matter because they play on the East Coast. You got to play in the East. Nothing can change. They're not going to move. You know, they're not going to trade places with the Oakland A's. And so, I mean, they're in the East. They are a title team contender. If you can take that, who's a big scorer, small shooting guard, small forward type, we plop them into the lineup. They play a lot of minutes, and look what happens. They are one player away, and that is a Bradley Beal away. They are a player like that away this offseason from saying, hey, guess what? We are title contenders, and they are that close. They will get that player in the offseason, and look out. And the Knicks have completely remade themselves and redone themselves. This year is great. I'm having a lot of fun. Here they are in the playoffs. Everything is great. Could they win their first-round matchup if they play the Hawks or if they play the Heat? Yeah, sure. Are they going to beat the Bucks? Nah, probably not. But they could win that, and then they'd probably come back down to earth a bit. But that's okay. Where the Knicks have been the past few years, it doesn't matter. But watch out. It'll be a great story this year that's just gotten better. Now I expect them to win every night. You watch what happens after they get that player after this year. You watch what happens and how the Knicks just absolutely take off in the East next season. Watch.
Just remember that expectations are a dangerous thing, particularly for that squad. But they've retooled management. You haven't heard a lot from James Dolan, which is fantastic and good for business.
He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what's happening right now. He's listen, I got a bunch of concerts. Yeah, listen, we're going to book you in all these places just so you stay away from the team. I guarantee you, Leon Rose has him playing so many different venues and out-of-the-way places. Why am I playing in Butte, Montana? Look, just go. We're fine. You got three nights in a row there at this bar. It's going to be great. I'm going to pay people to go so it looks like it's this guy was here last night in a different shirt. I don't understand. They got him on a big tour right now, so he can't mess around with the Knicks. This is going to be a tour that goes all the way to the end of the playoffs and into free agency and into next season. He's going to always be on tour. He's going to be like Fish. He's just going to go on tour forever, and that's all they're going to keep doing. He's just going to be away from the Knicks the entire time. Leon Rose is running things. That's how it's going to work.
Like Metallica when it was like a 900 date jaunt for the Wherever I May Roam parts 1-4. Yeah, no, that certainly is potential there. But legitimately, like, he's had so many other business concerns to attend to. Hiring basketball guys to handle basketball and just getting out of the way to try to figure out how do you keep the other businesses flowing while everything's shut down. I imagine from an organizational standpoint, as nightmarish as it was, these guys probably got to actually do basketball things without his meddling. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And not even having to put him on tour. Just, okay, go figure out what's going to happen once you can get concerts back and get all the revenue that's been lost from there.
The Knicks can print money. It's okay, buddy. They're going to print money.
But for a while, they did not.
No, but doesn't matter. But they can print it now.
They can put Tom Thibodeau on money.
It's going to be great. It's going to work. Knicks Bucks will be the new Dogecoin. I mean, that's what's going to happen. No one's going to go on SNL and say something about Dogecoin and watch the numbers go down. That's not going to happen. Knicks Bucks will be great.
That's why you have scripts. And if that was scripted, then you're a dope. Like, might be the smartest guy alive, but you got to be able to read the room. Is it a work? Yeah, it's a work. No, you fool. Fortunately, I'd already transferred out of that one, but that's a whole other tale for another time.
I'll tell you, man, it's going to be something, but watch out. Look at the era of the Knicks could be here in the Eastern Conference.
The era of the Knicks. I'll tell you what, though, as much as you're insufferable about it, having the Knicks be relevant is a beautiful thing.
It's great for the NBA, right? I mean, it's the best thing. It's the best thing.
The only thing that could be better is if suddenly there's the Bulls finally get out of their 30-year post-Jordan funk.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun to see. And look, Knicks-Bulls would be great. Like, if the Bulls would get good and Knicks-Bulls would play in the playoffs, oh, that'd be great, man. You bring Knicks-Bulls back, suddenly all these interviews, like Charles Oakley's going to get interviewed, not have to worry about anybody, like, you know, trying to arrest him or anything. I mean, all these interviews would be great.
Wait, but think about the interview. Like, if we could get him on now, we could probably do 45 minutes on the difference between Krause and Reinsdorf and James Dolan. Let's go!
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. Believe me, the Knicks are one player away from being an NBA title contender.
Oh, boy.
dealing with a dead battery. It could be Zach LaVine. It could be Zach LaVine, buddy. I mean, you
it
never know.
It could be Kyle Lowry. I mean, there's a lot of rumors of guys who suddenly are, they're like, they've been talking to you. You know who I heard the Knicks may go after.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And oh boy, do we have a bizarre story involving the Lakers coming your way in about 45 minutes. We're tracking down the audio now. You have to hear it. It's like, of all the things the Lakers need the least at this time, it's going to be this. But we're going to get the audio for you played. It's going to be unbelievable. But today was NFL schedule release day. And unlike other years in the NFL where, okay, we have 32 teams, the divisions are all aligned, we got 16 games, the first and last place schedule that used to be a thing had been a thing of the past, but now they've added a 17th game. So now the first and last place schedules have become a thing. It's a lot tougher for teams that finish in first place last year to have an easy schedule the next year. You get all the first place teams. Conversely, the last place teams have all the other last place teams. Whose odds have increased for the playoffs? Whose have decreased? Joining us now on the hotline. You think it's Friday, but it's just 2 days earlier. He is the lead actor on Fox Sports 1's Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday on FS1, our insider in Las Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman. It is, in fact, Todd Furman. TF, what's up, buddy?
Not a whole heck of a lot, but I can tell you one thing, Smith. Unless the Jets take on an ACC schedule this year, there's not going to be a great prognosis on them making the postseason.
Buddy, we're fine. Listen, Sam Darnold's on a team where their former quarterback said today, we didn't practice enough last year. I'm feeling just fine. We're going to be 1-0, and then we're going to roll from there. It's going to be great.
Hey, you have to try and win the first one before you can go 17-0. So we'll see if the Jets can pull off the outright upset in their trip down to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers in their opener, where they're a 4-point underdog right now in FanDuel.
All right, so let's kick things off here. You saw the schedules come out today. Who's a team or two that you say, boy, the way the schedule lays out for them, they're going to have a big jump in wins this year. Maybe they go from being a non-playoff team to a playoff team. Whose schedule helps them the most?
Well, I'm not going to say it'll be a huge surprise or a massive jump in wins, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should be counting their lucky stars because their title defense got a heck of a lot easier as it looks on paper with the way things will shape up for them. Now, we know they'll have a target on their back, and of course they'll play a number of games in prime time, but there's not a whole lot of daunting stretches for them. When you talk about starting the year with three out of your first five games at home, you're going on the road for a short week to take on the much maligned Philadelphia Eagles. You have a bye week before the Washington football team will get a little revenge against you. And you close out your home schedule with three out of your final five games at home, the only two road games at Carolina and at the Jets. So if things weren't easy enough for Tampa going in, bringing back all their starters, it only gets easier now going forward. When I look at teams, though, that I had high expectations for, I'm a little bit more concerned about the Minnesota Vikings. That's a team that I think has the potential to start off with a win on the road, but you talk about playing two straight road games at the Bengals, at the Cardinals. They come home for three straight, but two of those three home games will be against the Seahawks and Browns, and then coming out of a bye week starting on Halloween, they go through a potentially very grueling stretch against the Cowboys, at the Ravens, at the Chargers, home against the Packers, and at the 49ers. Now, so much can change if Aaron Rodgers isn't a member of the Packers, but Minnesota was my dark horse to win the division. They'll definitely have to go out there and earn it with the schedule that they have in front of them.
Sitting out there at 8.5 is their wins total. When the schedule got released and we got the leaks this morning, Todd, for week one before the full presentation of everything, how much action starts flowing in based on those early odds? How much noise is there?
There's a little bit of money that'll come in. But when you look at the way numbers are set for week one, most sports books all have prices up, relatively low limits. And unless a number is really off, you don't see a whole lot of rushing to the window to try and get down and tie up your money for nearly 4+ months. So if you made a game four and you had the opportunity to take seven, that's a very different story. I mean, we did see the Raiders open as much as a 6.5-point home underdog in some spots. That price now down to 4 and even 3.5 in a lot of shops. So that took some money. And you'll get smatterings here or there, but of course a lot of key injuries, guys that haven't gone through OTAs, and we'll figure out much more about the landscape as we inch closer to August.
All right, so when it comes to teams that you see the schedule not doing them favors, Green Bay Packers, it seems not doing them favors to go, boy, this is really going to struggle for them. Where does your mind go to?
Well, you brought up an excellent point talking about how the first place schedule gets to be that much more difficult for teams like the Packers when you add a 17th game and it happens to come up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, Green Bay's got to figure out who their starting quarterback's going to be. And when you sign Blake Bortles today, not sure he's the guy that's going to take you to the playoffs. But have to do a little bit more of a deep dive and try and figure out exactly what we're looking at. I think from an overall schedule strength issue, though, the Chicago Bears will have their hands full. And that's largely because of the divisions that they'll be forced to take on. When you draw the NFC West and the AFC North, things get to be a heck of a lot more difficult. And I don't think the additional game coming out here to take on the Las Vegas Raiders was a gift by any stretch of the imagination either. So the Bears, a team in transition, especially at the quarterback position, schedule will give them fits and then some.
Yeah, I'll come visit you on the 10th of October. Todd Furman, our guest, Fox Bet Live, Fox Sports 1, each and every day. The Bet the Board podcast at Bet the Board Pod. And, of course, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Joins us each and every week here at the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Not to get too deep into your metrics and how you evaluate things, Todd, but, you know, you've had a shell because you knew what the opponents were. How much does it truly change things? As we order games up, right? Talking about those back-to-back road trips, maybe not having the extra time off against a quality opponent. You know, as you do your prep, how quickly does that come into line?
Well, you look for certain things along the lines of teams playing three straight road games. So, of course, the Dallas Cowboys will be in that scenario in early December. Now, they do have a little bit more of an extended window because they'll get the Thanksgiving game against the Raiders. They'll, of course, play the following Thursday like they've done every year, this time at the Saints. But then they'll go on the road against two divisional foes at Washington and at New York. So that could give the Cowboys fits if this is a team that's very much in contention to win the division or maybe accomplish a little bit more. So you look for some of those little nuances here or there and try and adjust down accordingly, try and identify which teams get easier opponents when they're on a short week. But I can tell you one thing, the primetime schedule early on in the season doesn't exactly have me brimming with a whole lot of confidence. When you're talking about the Cowboys-Eagles as a Monday night game, you're looking at Tampa against Philly on a Thursday night, and I think people are probably most excited to see Joe Burrow against Trevor Lawrence, but I'm not going to definitely define that as must-see TV.
All right, so let me ask you this, Todd. Now, if it just to satisfy me here, if I said to you the night before the NBA season, I want odds that not just the Knicks make the playoffs, not just the play-in, they make the top six playoffs, what odds would you have given me?
Honestly, I'd have given you a substantial price. I mean, I believe the Knicks, just to make the playoffs, we were talking about 8 or 10 to 1. So full credit to Tom Thibodeau and getting everybody to buy in. Julius Randle, of course, putting together monster numbers. But if you're talking about being in one of those quote-unquote protected seeds, I think you'd have been talking about prices upwards of 12 or 14 to 1 at minimum. May have to try and dust off some of the old sheets and files that I had to see if I can get an actual price there. But definitely an impressive accomplishment for a team that I don't think any of us expected could accomplish this.
All right, I got one last one for you because it's something Smith and I were talking about a little bit. He is all on board Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer, and okay, he's on board Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence making things happen. The over-under sitting at 6.5. He's talking 9-10 wins. Your gut right now before the balls start flying for mini camps, what say you?
Yeah, I'm not going over with the Jags win total. Now, if you really are bold and think it's a boom or bust type scenario in the maiden voyage for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, maybe you bet them to win the division because I don't think there's a clear-cut team that's going to run away with it. Obviously, there's a separation when you talk about the Colts and Titans compared to what you have at the bottom of the division with the Jaguars and Texans. But when you go through the Jags schedule, if they're able to win against Houston, where you're going to have a rookie quarterback in his debut game laying points, and we're not quite sure who's going to be under center for Houston, then maybe you get a split at home against Denver, Arizona, and then you have a couple of games at Cincinnati, home against Tennessee, before you take the trip to London to take on the Dolphins. I think there's still going to be some growing pains. This is a roster deficient of talent, but if they buy into Trevor Lawrence, who knows? Maybe they can jump from 1-15 somewhere in that 6-win range, but I think that would be a monumental leap. So I'd be looking to go under their total at 6.5.
You can follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman. That is at Todd Furman, Monday through Friday, the lead actor on Fox Sports 1's Fox Bet Live. Todd, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Write those Jets down for 1-0.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. I'll see what I can do in the Sam Darnold revenge game.
You're the best, buddy.
1-0.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You talk about a team. Look, the NFL schedule coming out. We had a big conversation with Todd Furman about it. The first place and last place schedule is a thing again, right? It wasn't for a while because of the even scheduling it is with 16 games and 32 teams and four teams in each division. But now it's become a thing. And there's a couple of teams that are going to see themselves fall a long way because of how difficult the schedule is. And I'll tell you what. They were 13-3 last year, but you talk about the Packers trying to navigate a season without Aaron Rodgers, which is what's going to happen, right? Without Aaron Rodgers, this is a team that can go from 13-3 and they can pick first in the NFL draft in 2022. Watch out, because there's not a game they'll be favored in. Now, will they win a couple of games? Sure, because everybody wins a couple of games. You got an extra game to go to 17 this year. But this is a first-place schedule without one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, the defending MVP. Jordan Love and Blake Bortles, who they signed today. Get your Blake Bortles funny line out now. Who are they going to beat? How many games are they going to win? This can go wrongly. So spectacularly. To see the Packers, they could pick first in the NFL draft if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year. The schedule is just that tough for them.
Well, it is. You know, they are ranked, if you go by strength of schedule, that is a bottom five, as in, you know, top five hardest, I guess, in terms of navigating. And it's going to be curious this next month, right? We got that June 2nd, quote-unquote, deadline. Because really, it's all about the salary cap and being able to spread Rodgers' dead cap money over the 2 years that's at play in a lot of this. But when we see the odds come out, right, and looking at over-unders and talking about it with Todd Furman, based on the available information, reticence to put a number on the board for the Packers in wins, reticent to put a number on the Packers for week one of the NFL slate. So you certainly have those questions still swirling about. A lot of talent still on that team, and the division that they play in leads me to believe they can at least have some run. So I don't think number one pick, so long as Houston is Houston. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. I like Mark Ingram as much as the next guy, but he ain't running for 4,000 yards for these guys to try to slow games down. And even if Deshaun Watson settles with every one of the accusers, he's missing half a year at a minimum, right? So at least we would have to believe that. So when it get down to it, I don't think you're getting past the Houston Texans for that number one pick next year, but the potential is certainly there for to be a sub-500 team. We have absolutely no idea what Jordan Love is. That is the most beautiful thing in going into this 2021 season, right? As much as we talk about Aaron Rodgers, like some folks have just decided, well, Jordan Love must stink. It's like, no, he's not Aaron Rodgers. So compared to Aaron Rodgers, yes, maybe he does. But we have no idea what his aptitude is, how much he's grasped. He certainly didn't get first-team reps. We didn't get to see him in a preseason of any type. So right now, it is the great unknown. And that'll be a gift that will be given every week in the NFL season should Aaron Rodgers leave town. The problem is that also swirling behind that, how many profiles are going to be written about Devontae Adams? and the greatness of Devontae.
Tons and tons.
He's going to be the most interviewed guy in the world. Because how much press did he do? Hey, you had never heard him speak before this week. All of a sudden, he's everywhere with lots of quotes about this and talking about his contract situation and everything else. I don't know that I could be here without Aaron. So, you know, he's doing a little bit of a flex, too, saying, hey, get this done, whatever it takes. And look, the ship sailed in terms of selling off Jordan Love. You had that opportunity come draft day if you wanted to go down, admit your mistake, and go back on your hands and knees and beg for forgiveness. not to say you still can't do a lot of that, but I think for the division in which they play, I don't see a catastrophic drop-off for the Packers, even if it's Jordan Love. Look, there's some kind of hex, some voodoo. I don't know if it's from Lee Dellap or what, but the Packers have had over my beloved Chicago Bears going to when I was a wee baby. So it's just one of those things, man, mystical. They always seem to fall into another quarterback.
Tell you, man, you try to win games with Jordan Love or Blake Bortles. Good luck. Doesn't matter what. Good luck with those guys trying to win games that way. I mean, it's going to be a stark difference to go, whoa, this is not at all what we're used to. We can't move the football up and down the field at all. It's gonna be that difficult.
But you don't know that he's that bad.
Yes, I do know he's that
bad. No, you don't. Meanwhile, you've crowned Trevor Lawrence before he's gotten back from surgery or walked onto a field.
If he was good, the Packers would have traded Aaron Rodgers by now. They would have said, you know what? You want gone. We got Jordan Love. We're good. We drafted him to do this. But the fact that they're still holding on to this, they want him gone. But they haven't done it because they know Jordan Love stinks. All right? They know they missed. They know they whiffed. But if they don't get a quarterback back for him, good luck trying to win games. I mean, good luck trying to do that. That's going to be impossible. Now, I hear you on the Texans. Look, the Texans are going to be terrible. But if the Deshaun Watson thing gets settled to the point where he's not missing the whole season, he's still going to wind up being an ex-member of the Texans. I can't believe he's going to play there again. So what they get back for him, I assume they would get a quarterback. That could still wind up happening. But clearly all this legal stuff has to be resolved at first. So while I think he's going to wind up being suspended for much of the season, is that where a team comes in and pounces when he's going to get reinstated, all those things? So I think that Deshaun Watson
come in to save the Packers?
It could be. Oh, you kidding? Deshaun Watson for Aaron Rodgers? Wait, Aaron, you're in Houston.
No. Oh, but I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is already gone and you've already made a trade, look and say, what assets do we have? Look, Houston could use everything because they trade away all their picks, right?
Yeah, they could use some help. 2035. They have no more picks in the draft for another 14
years. So if you just showed up with a bounty of picks, even if Trader Bill ain't there, they'd have to take it, wouldn't they? Look
man,
at that.
I'm we telling just, you.
Pure chaos theory that we're bringing here on Fox Sports Radio. You like hot take nonsense and big deep thought pieces? That last 5 minutes is straight fire.
Be ready for the Packers. With the first pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Packers select Keaton Slovis, quarterback, USC.
It's going to be the Jets.
The New York Jets are on the clock. Do the Jets stick with Zach Wilson, or do they take Sam Howell? Will they admit their mistake after one year with Zach Wilson? Twitter it out about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, coming up next, boy, I'll tell you what, we'll key you in on the Lakers drama they just do not need right now as they try to put the finishing touches on a win over Houston. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Lakers and Rockets coming down to it in the Lakers' quest to avoid the play-in round. We'll have more on this coming up in a few moments. Listen, we've talked a lot tonight about the schedule release in the National Football League. It's a very big deal, big thing that we've been talking about today. And look, let's face it, it's an exciting time.
Absolutely. But hope springs eternal.
But as the Lakers try to navigate this game against the Rockets, which they lead by a point with a minute left, A controversy that the Lakers really didn't want to have to deal with, that they're kind of going to have to. It was just a few days ago, member team owner Jeannie Buss put out her list of the five most important Lakers of all time. Well, one person who wasn't on the list was Mr. Clutch, Jerry West, the logo. And Jerry West went on a podcast earlier this week on Peter Vesey, the Hoop DuJour podcast, and it's just starting to make its way around now, in which Jerry West said he wasn't really happy with being left off of that Jeannie Buss list. Take a listen.
I saw the other day who Jeannie Buss is, made a statement that the five most important Lakers, one of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Really offensive. Well, let's put it this way. I was there a lot of times and had a lot of success, and would be curious to know why, if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there. And we had a little small staff, and I don't ever take credit for stuff. I don't. But when I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm, okay? But I do know that when this thing fell apart, there was a lot of years that they weren't very good.
Boom. See, I guarantee listening, you're thinking, oh, Jason's just lying, right? He's just going to, yeah, it's Jerry West. No, Jerry West is not happy being left
Dude went in.
List.
He one finally most... got to that I don't give a blank Ooh. Phase yep. of his life. And this one is it.
One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Maybe when I was around, I was just a good luck charm. Here is Mr. Clutch. Here comes the fire. This is not what the Lakers need. Getting All ready right. for the playoffs. And now what you've done is anytime you do a list of most important Lakers of all time, when you're the owner, people pay a lot of attention to that.
Yeah.
Why are you putting a list out of most important Lakers? Look, Jeannie Buss is someone who has always liked the limelight, and I get that. Some people like the limelight. Some people don't. I understand. Mark Cuban likes the limelight a little too much, but there's no way he's going to do a list of an official list of top five Mavericks players of all time. He would say something like, oh, on the list of most important Mavericks players of all time, Dirk's at the very top of that list, right? That's what he would say. That's how you say it. You don't say, here's a list of five people most important. When you think about the players the Lakers have had, Shaq and Kobe and Worthy and Magic and Kareem and Wilt and Jerry West, and I'm already at seven. What are you doing that?
Now, like, for those that missed it, it was Kobe, Magic, Kareem, and then LeBron James and Phil Jackson. LeBron's been there, he's been there for breakfast, right? Short time. But he got them out of that multi-year funk. And Jeannie Buss is smart enough to know that if she doesn't name him, then people will go after her there. I think she thought Jerry West would just kind of shrug and go, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But never publicly comment on it would be my guess. Whereas, you know, from LeBron James, you've still got to deal with him for as long as he's there. And then Phil Jackson, well, we know how they were linked and the success that the Lakers had under Jackson's reign. So it's hard to eliminate him. So, like, look, LeBron is the guy that doesn't belong, and I think we can all agree with that. Unfortunately, she's playing the game with the hand she's dealt.
And Phil was my boyfriend for a long time.
Well, and he won a lot of titles.
But he won titles. You could have at least just said players. You could have done something instead. All you've done is light this on fire.
But even then, as players, then Jerry West gets back in. But yeah, that dumpster fire, baby.
More on this. More on the Lakers, Rockets, and a big story out of the NFL. All next.